Welcome back to the CTO Playbook. I'm Adam Horner, and today we're exploring a big shift that's already reshaping how technology leaders must think and act. It's the rise of what I think of as the era of infinite builders. AI-assisted development, low-code tools, embedded analytics, powerful APIs. The barrier to building software has almost collapsed, and that means the title software engineer no longer defines the limits of who can build things. In fact, our most impactful builder might sit in customer support, finance, or even operations. As the ability to build software gets spread over ever more people, it raises some difficult questions around the need to coordinate and organize them. So what does that mean for us, the CTOs and strategic tech leaders? That's what we're going to explore in this episode, structured around 9 key principles in 4 sections. These aren't rules like in a typical playbook. They're more like lenses. They are ways to look at our leadership, our teams, and our organization from a different perspective. The main purpose here is to help think through the implications for the current seismic changes in the industry. Since I've been asked about this several times recently, and I'm sure these topics will be asked of you sooner or later, I hope these lenses will help you to consider the wider implications too, so that by the time you're asked, you either have some answers to hand, or at the very least, some better questions to start from. The 4 sections are 1, the new landscape of software creation, 2, leadership for alignment rather than control, 3, scaling safely and effectively, and 4, engineering strategy and impact beyond the code base. Let's start then with section 1, the new landscape of software creation. In 3 principles, we'll explore the changes in the software environment that are accelerating right now and the emergent behaviors that are beginning to shape a new version of normal. Principle 1, everyone can build now. Our job is to make sure they build things right. Today, anyone with a prompt, a spreadsheet, or access to a no-code platform can build working software. But that doesn't make them engineers in the traditional sense. As CTOs, we now guide all builders, not just the ones in our reporting line. That means equipping them with principles, constraints, and shared goals so that when they build and what they build helps the company, not just their team. This became real for me years ago, actually, when I was helping build a reporting system for a finance team. We were pulling data from multiple sources when we realized that one of them was actually a spreadsheet. And I'm not talking about a flat file. It was a living system with hundreds of formulae in it across many sheets, generating genuinely valuable insight. Initially, we thought the value was in the code, in those formulae. It turns out the impactful value was actually in the adaptability of their model. The fact that they could remodel and update their sheet's code and meaning on their own. And that was an early lesson for me in how building value isn't always done by engineers. So where in your organization are builders hiding in plain sight? And how are you helping them succeed safely? Principle number 2. Redefine junior to senior progression for a cross-functional world. One of the CTOs I coach had an engineer with a familiar with frustration. They felt ready for a senior role, but they weren't getting recognized. We paired them with a support team member who had deep insights into customer challenges. And at first, this want-to-be senior engineer felt really resentful and sidelined. Over time, their understanding of the product really deepened, and they started solving problems very differently. And that was the moment their growth accelerated. They then appreciated the opportunity they had and really understood that they hadn't been ready for the senior title at the time. Actually, they were then surprised later when they were promoted to senior, once they had a broad understanding of the domain and the customer. See, seniority isn't just about code mastery anymore. It's about context, collaboration, and contribution to outcomes. And sometimes juniors emerge from other departments entirely. So what are we really measuring when we talk about experience? Is it just technical experience? Is it just the business experience? Is it the domain we're working in? And are we helping our teams level up in all the ways that matter now? Principle 3, abstractions save time, understanding saves disasters. AI can help scaffold a backend. A tool can optimize a query. But can our builders explain why they chose Postgres over MongoDB, Redis over Elastic, or Flask over Django? Do they understand why a system failed at scale or why latency spiked under pressure? I mean, AI suggested it, but is that good enough? And can we do better? Can we help them better? Can we provide an improved baseline that keeps them going fast and reduces the amount of cleanup that a better understanding might have helped avoid? Prohibition, banning AI, for example, is one path. And some companies are taking that route, especially where external constraints make that the safer option. But now that people are solving problems across the organization with a new tool that delivers value in many scenarios, the pressure to enable the usage of these tools is going to grow and is going to accelerate too. We often talk about the value fundamentals, but in this new era, it's the combination of foundational understanding and formal computer science fundamentals with the business insight and the user empathy that defines the elite builders. The very best, the elite, they don't just ship fast. They ship wisely. They don't create in a vacuum or solo. They accelerate other builders and enable citizen builders, either by guiding them directly or by building reusable components that encapsulate and abstract away those complicated but critical fundamentals that overcome constraints that would otherwise be bottlenecks to value creation. The deep understanding saves disasters. Quality abstractions save time. So where in your team do you see speed overtaking depth? And what's the cost if that goes unchecked? Do you have enough depth to avoid or mitigate technical disasters? Can you realign your elite engineers to enable the other tiers of engineers and builders in new ways? That wraps up section one, looking at the landscape of creating software. So let's transition from that into what it means for leadership. Section two, that leading for alignment, not control. We have two principles in this section, looking at the continuation of existing trends that are growing in prominence and impact currently. Starting with principle four, direction beats control, broadcast context relentlessly. I've coached many CTOs through the shift from decision bottleneck to context broadcaster. It's hard. Sharing how we think, not just what we think, can feel exposing. Answering questions with more questions feels awkward at first, and it gives a sense of not being particularly helpful. But it is a turning point. One CTO I coached went from borderline burnout to a beautiful balance after committing to this change. Once the team knew, one, how decisions were made, two, had the information to make those decisions, and three, understood that they had the mandate and the expectation to take those decisions themselves, they absolutely flew. They didn't just deliver faster, they owned outcomes. The CTO was able to step up a level of abstraction too, which was much more effective for the leadership team. Creating a clear sense of direction and constantly repeating and talking about the context at every level, in every conversation, until we ourselves are bored of it, makes this possible? Are you protecting your time by controlling decisions? Or are you multiplying your time by teaching others how to make those decisions? Are you certain that your team has all the context and information they need to make decisions in a similar way to you? Are you broadcasting so often that your leaders are now mirroring your behavior? Direction beats control. Broadcast your context relentlessly. Principle 5, organizational design is system design. In one company I coached, the CTO faced a tough challenge. They were scaling from one team to several, which is normally a difficult transition, and I call this crossing the desert, adding headcount as team leads and usually lowering overall productivity in the process. But instead of following a standard blueprint, they structure teams around capability flows, not just services, and democratize the leadership. The result? Well, no productivity dip. In fact, things sped up. As Conway's Law reminds us, how we design teams shapes how we deliver software. Specifically, how our teams communicate is normally mirrored in the way that they build the software. That's basically what Conway's Law says. And now, when builders exist across every function, designing in isolation is a liability, a siloed approach just waiting to cause us problems in the future. So, ask yourself, is your org chart helping or hindering your system architecture? Have you taken the rise of citizen builders into account as you structure your org chart and the interfaces and communication channels between engineers and the rest of the business? Organizational design is system design. So that wraps up section 2 on leadership alignment. Now we're going to transition over into what that means for growth. Section 3, scaling safely and effectively. Beyond a certain complexity, businesses always need more people to create all the impact that we discussed in the previous section. We're going to explore 2 principles in this section in effectively measuring and growing that impact across a greater variety of builders and software engineers. Principle 6, then, is measure impact, not busyness, but build a dashboard for velocity. By busyness, I mean measuring how busy folks are, how much stuff they do. And what do I mean by velocity? I think a lot of people conflate this with speed. But velocity is a vector. It is defined by speed and direction. And without knowing direction, our teams might just be spinning their wheels. Let's visualize our various builders as cars, vans, and bikes, each with a tow line, all attached to a really heavy object. And that object represents the momentum and inertia of our customer base. Now, if all of those teams all report that they're going fast, but they're actually all pulling in different directions, then there'd be an absolutely random overall impact on the motion that our customers see. However, if we align just some of them, our customers will see impact fast. If we align them all, our competitors won't be able to keep up. Knowing which direction to put our efforts in can be more impactful than going faster. A speedometer only tells us one part of the story. We need to see the direction too. So how do we see the direction? At one company I worked with, engineering originally had no part in the BI dashboard. It was built by finance, just with their own data. But once asked, we added a data pipeline to feed into it. We then integrated multiple data sources and layered in some extra BI tooling. And suddenly, the leadership team, including me, saw something new: how customer behavior, product usage, and sales cycles all interacted together. That insight caused a full pivot in the product strategy. See, dashboards don't just report progress, they expose possibilities. So what are your teams measuring today? And can they all see all the same data and all the context to allow them to draw the same conclusions? And what might they see if you added a few more lenses to that? Are you measuring both speed and direction for all of your builders? And does that correlate with impact? Build a dashboard for velocity, speed, and direction. Principle 7 then. As a CTO, the developer experience is now our product, especially for citizen builders. I recently came across a CEO who has a CTO and an engineering team. But he, the CEO, relaxes by building working products for his customers, actual tools with real users. This is not hypothetical anymore. This is actually happening. In another case long ago, I saw a shadow IT tool nearly breach brand integrity and security. We got lucky and we intercepted it and fixed the flaw before it caused any lasting damage. But that taught me something. It's not enough to empower everyone to build, the CEO included. We also have to protect them from themselves and protect the business in the process. Now that the barriers have dropped lower than ever in a remarkably short period of time, the implications for turning a blind eye to the needs and actions of those outside engineering who want to put together an automation or a technical solution to their problem are getting riskier with greater potential negative consequences than ever before. What are you doing to support the builders outside your team? What policies, guardrails, templates, guidance, and even assistance are you giving them? What risks is the organization exposed to by you not looking outside the traditional envelope to see where all the builders are? That's a lot of questions to pose in section 3 on scaling impact. So the final section then is my so what? What can we do about it? And where do we go from here? Section 4 is on strategy and impact beyond the code base. These final two principles that make up this section help ask some key questions of us CTOs. Principle 8, outcomes are our new OKRs. We've known for a while that output isn't the goal, but it's still easy to default to shipping features as a measure of success. It feels easy to stand up in an exec meeting, a boardroom, and say, look, we did all these things. We completed this work in line with our objectives. Boxes ticked, backlog burned down. One CTO I coach shifted their team to measuring customer activation as their core KPI instead of stories completed or any other internal metric. The overall company goal there was growth. So it made sense for the team to use this customer activation as their primary yardstick, their core measurement, their North Star metric. But quite quickly, the roadmap started to look very different. The engineers started asking much better questions of each other and their product colleagues. They started reaching out to other teams more often. In fact, had barely been seen before. Then they started redesigning their own processes around this new goal. Increasing customer activation became their new OKR. Simple shift, but what a diverse impact, fully aligned with the business. When we define success in terms of real-world change, the priorities become clearer. The noise drops, the signal rises, alignment is tighter, and communication becomes smoother. We would do well to ask ourselves then, are our teams clear on what good looks like? Or are they ticking boxes and chasing proxy metrics? Outcomes are our new OKRs. Principle 9 then, solving across the organization, not just within product and engineering. One founder CTO I coached realized that they were sort of stuck in delivery mode, even as the company grew. They started looking beyond engineering and spotted similar problems in marketing, support, and operations. The CEO was frustrated, but couldn't easily sort of articulate to me what had gone wrong and why he felt stuck. But by reapplying the same pattern as they'd used early on, when it was just three founders around a table, they helped the whole business accelerate without sticking to their lanes so rigidly. Engineering isn't really a department anymore. It's a competency. And as CTO, we're not just responsible for what gets built, but for how the business works. Many processes that start in one department finish in another, sometimes passing through others on the way. But how often do we look at those from the beginning to end, rather than just the technical portion of it? So, where could your team make a difference outside the product? And who in your company doesn't yet know how much they need your help? Can you circumvent some of the problems escalated to engineering by re-engineering the whole process or by enabling a citizen builder to tackle it? Can you get your elite builders to encapsulate a technical challenge to empower citizen builders to leverage it everywhere for more value? Solve across the organization, not just within product engineering. So that's all four sections then, and lots of principles with a load of questions to ponder. This era of infinite builders is exciting, but it's also complex and it's unfamiliar territory. Our roles as leaders are expanding. The org charts are blurring and the lines between software engineers, builders, and users, they're corroding. But let's look on the bright side of life. Our experience still matters. Our judgment still matters. And our leadership matters more than ever. In true playbook style, then, let's quickly summarize the 9 principles to navigate technology leadership in a world of citizen builders. Principle 1, everyone can build now. Our job is to make sure they build things right. Principle 2, redefine the progression from junior to senior for a cross-functional world. Principle 3, abstractions save time, understanding fundamentals saves disasters. Principle 4, direction beats control. Just broadcast your context relentlessly. Principle 5, organizational design is your system design now. Principle 6, measure impact by building dashboards that show velocity, speed, and direction. Principle 7, the builder experience is now our product. Principle 8, outcomes are the new OKRs. Principle 9, solve across the organization, not just within our reporting line. Finally, I'll leave you with these 2 questions to ponder. 1, how are you showing up for the builders beyond your line of sight? And 2, how are you shaping the whole organization to think, act, and build with intent? If today's episode resonated, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Share the episode with your team, start the conversation, and come back next week to carry on building your own CTO playbook. Until next time, keep leading with clarity and impact. Thank you very much for listening all the way through to the end. Just before you go, I'd like to ask you for one thing in return for putting together all these episodes of the CTO Playbook podcast for you. Please leave a review. Wherever you're listening, whether that is Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever platform you're on, leaving a quick review will help more CTOs find the podcast and enable me to create more great episodes. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of the CTO Playbook.